This is an iHeart podcast.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, it is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and it's going to be the best day ever. We have made it to the end of the week. What, Chris? I can't help it. I'm bouncing off the walls. I'm so happy to be here. We have to talk about dirt water dogs. Somebody's mad about all the offensive things I say. Someone wants to know about his dad, who's a Republican but refuses to vote for Trump. Do people get married too early? What do I think about that? Why, oh why, do Democrats attack their own family members? That's going to be an interesting little thing. We're going to talk about someone who's Jewish but angry at their Jewish relatives for how they vote. That's spicy. And what can Trump actually get done if he wins in the White House? All that, so much more, including should you get a massage from a dude if you're a dude? All that and more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I have to begin with this one, though, and I'm just going to read a little bit of it because it was really long. It was really long. And before I read it, I need to clarify for anybody who's new that's listening. I know that I'm rough. Is that a good way to put it? Rude, maybe. I understand. I could make a laundry list of excuses right now that would all be valid for why I am the way I am. My father is most definitely at the forefront of those excuses because that's my dad. Gosh, you think I'm bad. You should hear my father. He's a construction guy. His dad was a construction guy. We're a construction family. My kids, my boys have already been instructed by my father that they're not allowed to repeat any of the words he uses around them in front of my wife. They've had to take a vow of secrecy. So maybe it's my dad. Maybe it's the Marines. Maybe it's just that I'm a jerk. But I know I'm offensive. And I understand that it may be too much for some people. Yes, it's a family-friendly show. It always will be. But it is, especially when you compare to how people talk today, I know it's offensive. If the show is too offensive for you, you don't have to send me an email. Just turn it off. There's a million options. And it's not that I want you to go, but I don't care if you. It looks better for both of us. It's like this. Jesse. All right, quit. I've got a straight face. Jesse, I'm going to report Jesse to the Civil Liberties Organization for all his racist rants, whether it's making Jewish insults regarding cheapness pertaining to what he refers to as Jewish producer Chris, or picking on a particular ethnic group. With all the growing university anti-Jewish protests, do we need Jesse's anti-Semitic jokes now? Even worse are his demeaning comments regarding Italians. He should be fired for making some of these. He said such as, if I see some chick with hairy legs, I see she's Italian. I don't remember saying that, but that's hilarious. Anyway, he said, had he made these comments about any other ethnic group, can you imagine the protests which would occur? I've been determined to report him to civil liberties organizations. However, I keep remaining latent. Chris, what does latent mean? Michael, you went to college. Do you know what latent means? It means like sitting around or something, lazy. Okay. So pretty much I knew that. I went to a good community college too, Michael. Anyway, 2 years ago when the AC was non-functioning, this dude really listens to the show. He said, if my forehead looks greasy, I'm not Italian. I did say that. I remember saying that. That was great. Anyway, it goes on and on and on. And he's really upset. And apparently I'm being reported for all these things. And I just have to say, if I have said anything that has bothered you in any way about your religion, skin color, ethnicity, gender, hair color, whether you're left-handed, you should know that I'm not sorry. All right. I just want to make it clear that I'm not sorry, and the show's not going to change, and I'm going to keep doing the same thing we've always done. So let us begin on some politics, shall we? Hey, Jesse, my tax guy's a 70-something Republican veteran and a never-Trumper. He supported Nikki Haley and says he'll vote for Biden over Trump. His reasons are he thinks Trump didn't support the military and Trump increased taxes to people and gave tax breaks to the rich. I don't find anything to substantiate this. Unfortunately, there are a lot of never-Trumpers that are going to sell out our country over swallowing their dislike for the man. What's your take? Okay. Well, your tax man, he's not a Republican. Your tax man understands that as a tax man, he has to pretend to be a Republican. Your tax man is a Democrat. Only Democrats believe that Donald Trump didn't support the military. You can have all the problems with Donald Trump in the world. I know all kinds of guys who were still in. That was the only time in the last 10, 15 years they felt respected by their commander-in-chief. In fact, to Trump's credit, did you know? Here, let me do you a little something. I haven't told you this in a while. You ever see these videos or pictures of some big shot senator or the defense secretary or the president visiting a base somewhere, some sort of a base? Maybe they're touching down in Iraq and they're going to visit the troops in Iraq, or maybe they're going to Korea to visit the troops there, or Germany or something like that. Did you know that the troops themselves, the guys on the ground, did you know that we hate that? We despise it. Despise it. Why? It's not necessarily a personal thing against whatever idiot senator or whoever happens to be visiting at the time. When these people visit, you see the pictures. You see they're all sitting together in the chow hall having a slice of pizza together. You see the stuff on Instagram or the news. Oh my gosh, look at him. He's smiling. He's posing with the troop. That's what you see. And that's what the politicians want you to see. Oh, it's so much fun. In fact, that's what military leadership wants you to see. The generals and all these types. Oh, look at our troops. Look at them. Look at this. The guys on the ground despise when high-ranking muckety-mucks come visit because it means unending amounts of boring, brutal prep work before they get there. For instance, this happened to me many, many times. It's happened to anyone who's ever been in, and everybody listening who's in right now or has been in is nodding their head. We had a guy, I'm not going to mention his name because I actually like him. We had a guy, he was coming to visit when I was in the Marines. We had to prep our base for a week for him to come. And when I say prep, I don't mean take the trash out. I'm talking, I remember like it was yesterday, spending 5 hours polishing the faucets in the sinks so they could be shiny enough when politician X finally got there. I've heard stories about guys being forced to mop and sweep the rooftop of their barracks, the one the senator will never see before he gets there. You would have to police call, you don't know what police call is. You would have to clean up the desert of big rocks. I'm not making it up. They'll make you all stand in line in the 120-degree sun and walk forward shoulder to shoulder, picking up every rock that's bigger than a baseball so the desert can look good for visiting politicians. Did you know that? When you get word that Senator this, President that, Defense Secretary this is visiting your base, whether you're in Iraq or you're stateside, every single guy on the ground, not the officers who don't do squat every guy on the ground goes, oh, gosh, here we go again. Until Donald Trump. Now, yeah, when Trump was visiting, they hated all that crap, too, and they had to do all that crap, too. To his credit, they felt like he genuinely gave a crap, and Trump would just sit there and just gab with him. He'd just sit, just gab with him. So, yeah, Trump did that well. Didn't support the military. Look, you can blast Trump for many, many things, and you know I'm more than willing to do that when he's wrong about something. Didn't support the military is ridiculous. Back to your question. Your tax man is a Democrat. As a tax man, he has to pretend to be a Republican. Look, I've run into this with Hollywood actors who are Republicans that I've spoken to quietly, and they'll publicly tell everybody they're Democrats because their livelihood depends on declaring themselves to be Democrats. Your tax man believes every Democrat lie that's ever been told. He's a Democrat. I'm sorry. He is. All right. Getting married too early. The Bush-Kerry election. What do you eat on the streets of New York? But first, let's do this email. Dr. Dong Oracle, thank you for sharing the audio of the news report of the Home Depot bathroom bomb dropper. Chris, do you have that from yesterday? I nearly retched up my breakfast from laughing so hard. I'm a 43-year-old man who still has boyish humor. I finally convinced my wife to make the switch to Pure Talk. Great decision. In lieu of the bar eating, please play the fart noise for my two girls, Evie and Izzy. What great names. We listen to part of your show on our way to school each morning. Love the show. Despise the commies. That's for the ladies. For anyone who missed last night's show, this is an old news story. This is something that's been out there forever. This is real, and it's freaking hilarious.
Some scary moments for customers at a Kansas Home Depot. Police responded to reports of a bomb threat at the store in Wichita. A customer alerted employees. A man inside the bathroom said there was a bomb in the building. Police were able to locate the man responsible for those comments, and that man told police he warned other guests to leave the restroom because he was, quote, fixing to blow it up, but had no intention to.
Anyway, I almost forgot. Credit to that man for switching to Pure Talk as well. He not only got the news story, he got a fart sound for his girls. Why? Because he did something good. He stopped funding AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile. We fight the culture war in a million different fronts. Right? People ask, well, what do I do? What do I do? Do anything. The corporate front is part of it. Where you spend, where I spend and don't spend my money matters. When you take money away from these big evil corporations and instead give it to patriotic companies, does it feel like you did much? You did a lot of good. And if more people did what you did, we'd be in a better spot. Pure Talk's a patriotic cell phone company, unlike Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile. Your bill will be slashed. You won't believe how little you pay for cell service. The same service. They're on the same 5G network. Switch to Pure Talk. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. Today's the day. 10 minutes on the phone is all it takes. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. What was that, Chris? That was Chris Cornell? He's fine. Is he still making music? What? Oh, he's dead? Well, how'd he die? Drug overdose? Suicide? He hung himself? Oh. Well, why are you laughing? I didn't know. I can't keep... It was huge news like 5 years ago? I don't pay attention to news that's older than 30 seconds ago. Chris, that's not my problem. Anyway, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. And by the way, heads up, Chris Cornell isn't making any new music. Let's get back to the emails, shall we? Failed pizza chef. If you found yourself in New York City and only had a few minutes to grab a bite, would you go for a pizza place that sold slices or a dirt water dog cart? I recently faced just that dilemma, and it reminded me of your love for both. I would go dirt water dog. And what I'm about to say, it's going to be controversial. In fact, every single person listening to the great WOR right now in New York City is going to write me an email destroying me. I love New York pizza. In fact, I love Northeast pizza. Honestly, sorry, Jersey pizza is as good or better than New York City pizza. It just is. The Northeastern pizza is amazing. Philly actually has incredible pizza. Philly has really good pizza. Some of the best I've ever had. So I'm not dogging on the pizza. But it's not that much better than all the pizza in other parts of the world. You know, Detroit-style pizza is amazing. Amazing. You had Detroit-style pizza? Michael, Chris, do you want to back me up on the Detroit-style pizza is the thicker crust with the crunchy edges on it. Yes, yeah, Detroit-style pizza. There are other great styles of pizza. What is it, Old Tavern or Tavern-style pizza from Chicago? Not that disgusting, putrid Chicago deep dish filth, but the old-style thin crust. There's a lot of good pizza out there. You can't get that red onion sauce in New York City just anywhere. I'm telling you. Yes, I know I'm eating Ebola virus. I don't care. I'm going to eat dogs by the dozen. I'm just a wiener machine when I go to New York City. Hey, Enlightener, I became interested in politics after the horrible terrorist attack on 9/11. I followed carefully everything going on during the Bush-Kerry election in 2004 and was all for Bush winning. I'm really interested in what you think about the anti-Kerry swift boat veterans and the term swift boating that came out of that election. I believe those anti-Kerry Vietnam veterans. Did you? I'd love to hear your take on this 2004 political issue and one of your fascinating and informative historical delvings. All right. First of all, Chris, go ahead and get ready the Clint Webb thing that we've played for the longest time, and I'll get to that in a moment. It's going to pertain to this. Okay, John Kerry and the swift boating and whatnot. So you've probably heard me complain about officers in the military from time to time. Now, I'm just a stupid average Marine just an enlisted guy, just a grunt. However, officers are extremely important. And a good one, there's nothing better. You get a good leader like that, there's nothing better. He elevates everyone, the entire unit. But I need to explain part of my bitterness, and it's going to come back to this John Kerry thing. And in fact, you see this a lot today in politics. When you're a grunt, I can only speak for how we lived. You don't realize, if you haven't done it before, how much you are around the guys in your unit. I was in a mortar section. You would know it as a squad. In my platoon. Okay, so let's just make it 40 guys. Me, it's weapons platoon. I was in 1st Battalion, 7th Marines, Alpha Company, weapons platoon. You are together all the time. And you're not only together all the time, you're together in situations where there aren't distractions. So it's not like today when you gather with 10 people in the family and there's a quiet moment and everyone pulls out their phone and gets on Facebook. You are together in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the mountains, in the middle of the wilderness. You are eating together. You are sleeping right next to each other. If you have to answer nature's call, you're barely hiding behind a tree, and you have to hope your buddies don't find out you're doing it, or they're going to play a prank on you while you're answering nature's call. It's you eat, sleep, everything together at all times. And because you're together at all times, there's no lying. Meaning, if you're an officer who's just there to punch his ticket, meaning you're just there to get that next promotion, you want to be a general one day, or you're just there to kind of exist, have infantry officer on your resume before you run for Congress one day, the men are going to know it because you don't pop in and out. You are together at all times. And let's talk about politicians today, how it pertains to John Kerry and officers and the Clint Webb thing and some other things in a second. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
It's almost a dirty word. One that connotes conspiracy theory.
Will we ever get the truth about the Benghazi massacre?
Bad faith political warfare, and frankly, bullshit.
We kill the ambassador just to cover something up. You put two and two together.
Was it an overblown distraction or a sinister conspiracy.
Benghazi is a Rosetta Stone for everything that's been going on for the last 20 years.
I'm Leon Nafok from Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries. This is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Yeah, that's right. Lock her up.
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating and a review discussing how handsome I am. Now, back to what we were talking about. She had asked about John Kerry, the Swift Boat veterans, and I'm kind of doing a bigger thing about officers and guys who serve as officers, but they're just there to advance. And you can tell so quickly when somebody is just there to advance. It's one of my favorite political skits of all time, so I'm actually about to play it in its entirety. It was done by a comedy group. I believe they still exist. It's called The Whitest Kids You Know. The lead guy in their comedy group died a few years back, though, which is really, really sad. But it's a comedy group. The Whitest Kids You Know is the name of the comedy group, and they did a parody of a political ad. It's one of my favorite political things of all time, because virtually every single point in this parody is on point, including the part about military service. We'll listen to it. We'll come back to John Kerry. Here it was.
Hi, I'm Clint Webb, and I'm running for Senate. I have a short cropped haircut, a pretty enough yet accessible looking wife, and a newborn baby that I've dressed in a suit to prove to you that I mean business. For the last 15 years, I've lived my life in such a bland, uncontroversial, and repressed manner that it's almost unnatural. Why? Because I've been preparing to be your representative since I was a child.
It's Mike
Most
Johnson.
Well-adjusted, sane men would be hesitant to take a job where their decisions would so drastically affect the lives of so many. But not me. I possess a sort of sociopathic narcissism that makes me think that I should be in charge of everyone. But all of that needs to start here at home, in this beautiful state that I've grown to love since I moved here 18 months ago. Together, we can piggyback some of our state's legitimate needs onto my unquenchable lust for self-glorification. And that's a promise. Oh, and one more thing. I have a dog. I enlisted in the military for the minimum amount of time in a position that would never see combat. Why? Well, because it would help me be your senator. I don't make friends.
All right, Chris, that's enough. That's enough. Okay. Here's how it works, especially with Democrat politicians. You see this more with Democrats than Republicans. And this is from me. You know I'm more than willing to crucify Republicans. This is a Democrat mainly problem. Democrats will have this military service, which, you know, any service is great. You know, it's wonderful that you served, but it'll be, I don't want to say minimal, but it's not, you're not Rambo, right? You're not on the front lines. You're not in the grunts. You're not out past the wire. You're doing the very, very basics. And then when they run for office, they will overinflate what they did. There are a million examples of this out there today. These guys are old. They used to do it. They still do it. Why is this a problem in Democrat circles? Why did John Kerry do it? Because he did it when it came to Vietnam. He acted like he was this war hero, and the guys who served with him came out and said, wait, what? He didn't do anything. This is all a lie. Why is this a Democrat problem? Well, this goes back to something we've talked about a million times before. Democrats in this country, they're all communists now. They are. Or in the very least, they understand they have to pretend to be. So they're all open borders at all times. Every illegal in the world comes here, kill every single baby in the womb, spend all the money in the world until we're bankrupt. You name the evil communist thing, they're all about it now, every single one of them. But they have a problem, you see. The problem is older Democrats, union Democrats, blue-collar, working-class Democrat types, they hate that stuff. Latino Democrats hate that stuff. Black Democrats hate, especially the black men,
hate that stuff. The tranny stuff, the open border stuff, they don't like it. So if you're a modern day Democrat, you have to guard against this. You hate America. You can't make sure everyone knows that. You have to do enough to show you aren't an America-hating commie trying to burn it all down. Now, that's what you are. And that's what every policy you push does. That's how you campaign for the most part. But you can't come out and say, if you're Joe Biden, at no point can you come out and say, I want the border open because the communists around me hate America and they know it's the easiest way to burn the country down. So I intend to flood this country with illegals until it's so full of murderers and rapists and people who don't even understand America that it's unrecognizable as a nation. He can't come out and say that, because then what happens is 65-year-old Union Democrat guy, he hears that and he thinks, holy crap, these guys really are the anti-American scum I always thought they were. They can't say that. So they're constantly guarding against the label of being anti-American. That's why Joe Biden does the, I'm from Scranton, Joe. I know what it's like in a coal town, while trying to wipe out the coal industry completely. Military service is one of the greatest, probably the greatest way for a politician to prove love of country. So no matter what Democrat you are, Blumenthal is a current senator who has lied endlessly about his service in Vietnam. Why does he do that? Because Blumenthal hates America, tries to destroy it, but understands if I hold up my service in Vietnam and pretend to be Rambo, then older Democrat will be convinced that I really don't hate the country. I'm not trying to burn down the country. So let me explain something to you to wrap all this up when it comes to your fellow veterans, the fellow veterans of a politician, whoever they may be. Always believe them. And I mean always. I've never seen an example where a group of veterans who served with someone lied about that guy's service if they were dogging on him. I have never seen it in my life. Those guys who serve with John Kerry, they're telling the truth. Look, it goes all the way back. Forget about politics. People will yell at me. People love Douglas MacArthur or hate Douglas MacArthur from World War II. Look, I don't need any more evidence to hate Douglas MacArthur outside of the fact his men hated him. That's all I needed to know. I don't care what book you read now, what book I read now. His men referred to him as Dugout Doug. His men who served under him hated his freaking guts. That's all I need to know, period. They always know. Because as I said earlier, when you're with somebody in the military, you're with them all the time and you are naked, meaning your motivations are naked. Your whatever you are is laid bare. Because when you spend every waking moment with people, man, there ain't no hiding what you are. Remember that. Whenever you have a group of veterans who served with a politician, whoever he is, Republican or Democrat, and they trash that guy, he's a bad guy. Every single time, 100% of the time. Now, I'm not saying one disgruntled guy comes out and dogs someone. That can happen. If it's a group of them, bad guy. Every single time. All right, let's change pace here. Someone wants to know what Trump can do if he gets elected. Before we dig into that, someone has a question about getting married too young. That might be interesting. Before we get to that, just know that we do need men marrying women, and we do need them making babies. We need you to get married, stay married, and make babies. That does not mean that's for everybody. Everyone has a different life. Maybe you are supposed to be single. I'm not saying it has to be for everyone. Society-wide, though, that's what we need. And Chalk is on a mission to make sure the babies happen. You see, we can't get married, stay married, and make babies if our testosterone levels continue to free fall the way they are. They're not falling. They're free falling to the point where scientists, everyone is alarmed. 50% in 50 years. We have lost half of our testosterone in 50 years in this country. But it's not going to work. We're not going to make it. Start a male vitality stack from Chalk, gentlemen. No matter how old you are, you need testosterone. Natural herbal supplements are the way to go. Whatever you're looking to improve in your life, natural first. And Chalk has the best. And Chalk, they're anti-communist. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. All right? We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and what a day it is today. These are the best questions we have ever had. It's already been a blast, and we shall continue right about now. Multilingual Oracle, what would you do if one of your boys came to you at 19 years old and said they met a dime and were engaged to be married? I'm curious about your opinion because I tell anyone who will listen to wait until at least 25 years old to get married. I know it was the norm in our grandparents' day, he said I am your age, for people to marry young, but I do not think this should be the norm anymore. All but one couple I know who got married before the age of 25 has been divorced, myself included. What does the Oracle think? Tic-tac-toe, he says. His name is Dorian.
This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
All right. Let's have this talk. First of all, as a society, that it's not debatable. The historical record proves this over and over and over again. It is good for men and women to marry each other, men marrying women, stay married, make babies, and the younger they're doing this, the better off they are. That's another thing historically we know. Now, I'm not pushing back on your email at all, so just give me a second here. That, on a macro level, is good for a society. Does not mean it's good for everyone, but for a society, that is good. Now, when it comes to marriage, and more specifically divorce, it's so personal and terrible. I've never been through one, but I've had many, many friends who have. Honestly, most of them have. And it's just terrible every time. Everyone is angry and sad, and everyone on all sides feels betrayed, and it's just... it's really, really ugly. You know, no one can hurt you like the one you love. No one can hurt you like the one who knows you. So it's an awful thing. And a lot of people who've gone through it are nodding their head right now as I say that. However, on the flip side, people, have you ever talked to one of these people, one of these couples in their 60s, let's call it 50s, 60s, and they've been married 35, 40 years, and they're so happy, and they're such a team. And they're together, and they're the model of happiness and stability. And they tell people, that's what you want, get married. When it comes to marriage and or divorce, people are very, very, very tainted by what they personally have experienced and gone through. If you're the person who's in your 60s and you've been married to your husband or your bride for 45 years and you finish each other's sentences, to you, marriage is the greatest thing in the world. If you're like this guy, got married early, got divorced, I'm sure that was not a pleasant affair for whatever reason, marriage looks a little different for you. All I'm saying is we have to understand we're all tainted by the things we've gone through in life. By especially negative experiences we've had, they taint our worldview, and sometimes they can taint it to the point where we can't see things the way we should see things. And I'm not dogging on anyone for that. You've been through a divorce, but know that that's the case. Ideally, in a society where things are solid, you want young people marrying young people and staying married and going through misery together when you're young and poor and growing and making babies and having a life and doing these things. Now, obviously, it's a very case-by-case basis thing. You asked me how I feel about that. If one of my boys came to me at 19, well, that's James is 4 years away from being 19. He's 15 right now. It would depend, right? If he's with some solid girl from a good family who shares his values and they've been dating, you know, a year, whatever, I don't know, pick a time. And he came to me and said, Dad, I want to get married. And I would back him 1,000%. Yeah, let's go. Let's do it. But the problem for young men and young women at that age, and I was one, I was one. Look, at that age, your brain is what it is. You're not totally developed yet. At 19, I could 100% have seen myself bringing home a girl I should not have married. You can fall in love with the looks and she's batting her pretty eyes at you. And for the ladies, you know, oh, he's so cute. Oh, he's got a nice car. He's not a look. When you're that age, you can obviously make a really, really, really bad decision. It would depend on a case-by-case basis. I would never, ever, ever say, though, that young people, I would never put an age on it. Young people shouldn't get married. We are a part of the fertility crisis we are having here in America. And it's a very uncomfortable topic because people struggle to make babies. People do get started later in life. But part of the fertility crisis we have here in America is people are getting married later now, later than they've ever gotten married. And your fertility as a man and a woman, it does begin to go down earlier than you think. And it's just the way our bodies are made biologically. You are a lot more fertile at 20 than you are even at 30. I'm not calling 30 old, and I'm not telling you not to get married at 30. Get married at 60 for all I care. It's, you know, it's your life. Do your thing. But biology is what it is. Ideally, you're getting married young and staying married and you're cranking out babies. We need young people to do that. Now, just allow me to offer a word of caution before we get into Guy has a question about Trump and what I believe he'll be able to accomplish in his 4 years. And we'll talk about the good and the bad and the potential of that in a moment. But before I get to that, we need you to make babies. Our fertility crisis will end the country and we need good people making babies. The dirtball commies are killing all theirs and they're not doing it. We need to be more family focused. You know, we talk about politics and we criticize this politician and this Republican and that Republican and all that stuff's fine. We'll always do that. But to really truly save the country, it's going to take things beyond politics, things that are more important than politics. If 50 years from now you told me I could have only Republicans in the House, Senate, and the presidency, or 50 years from now, we could have double the nuclear families staying together in this country, I'd pick nuclear family all day, every day, because that's what would save the country, right? All right. Now let's discuss what we think Trump can and can't accomplish if he wins this election in November. Before we discuss that, let's discuss Fred. In case you're wondering, yeah, I've been telling you about the construction we've had going on in the house. We've had guys in and out of the house, and we had to finally get Fred calmed down and explain to him that these were not dangerous human beings. Well, I'm pleased to announce that Fred has made the complete transition from trying to eat them to now they've decided he's their dog. And now we don't even have to kennel him up when they're home. He's just there with them at all times. He's such an idiot. I love that dog. And that's why we give Fred rough greens, because I want him to be around sucking up to the construction workers for years and years and years. Rough greens is a natural nutritional supplement you can pour on your dog's food so they actually get nutrition, vitamins and minerals and probiotics and omega oils and everything else. Give your dog rough greens. You'll see a difference in your dog's energy, his coat, his breath, his health. Call 833-33-MY-DOG. Or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.